The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Dr. Trent Langhofer shares how God transformed his life.
I used drugs for the first time at 10 years old in the fourth grade. I dropped out of school as a junior in high school, and for the next 2.5 years, lived in inpatient treatment centers, and eventually made my way back home. And for the next 4.5 years, had as hardcore of an IV drug addiction as you can possibly have. I shouldn't have survived. Wow.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
You know what I love?
Tell me.
I love a good testimony.
I love a great testimony that's almost unbelievable.
Well, and the reality is every testimony is great.
That's true.
I understand that. But the reason I say that is because sometimes people see others and they think, it's great God could do that for them, but can he really do it for me? Mm. And we want to tell you, God can do anything.
Yes, he can.
He can save you from the worst of the worst, from abuse, from addiction, from you, whatever you want to put in that blank, God can pull you out and he can make you whole. Mm. Our guest today is going to tell you his story, and you will hear what God has done in his life. And I want you to hear through that what God wants to do in your life and in the lives of your loved ones. Dr. Trent Langhofer is with us. He is a licensed professional counselor. And that's probably a bit of an interesting place for you to land.
It seems a little paradoxical, Randy.
That's right. It's great to have you.
Great honor to be here.
Yeah,
so great
so
to get
good.
To be with you guys today.
Would you dive right in and just kind of walk us through where God has brought you from and where you're at now.
Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity. It is a crazy story. It really is ironic that I find myself in the role I am today. I'm a professional counselor. I've done about 30,000 hours of mental health counseling in the last almost 15 years. Wow. And teach at a university, have lots of awesome opportunities just like this. So let me give you kind of the overview and take a few minutes to do that.
Please.
I endured some childhood trauma and have some pretty pronounced abandonment pain. And the way I teach at the university is when people go through a painful experience, it makes them vulnerable to seeking relief from that pain. And that's the way God designed us. If you touch a hot stove without having to think, what do? You remove your hand from the stove. We're pain relief seeking creatures. Mm-hmm. And so my trauma and abandonment pain early in life kind of made me vulnerable to seeking relief from that pain. And if I were to ask an audience, how do you relieve emotional pain? And it's a group of adults that say in a church, they're going to tell me things like, Trent, you read God's word, you know, you pray about it, you worship. And all those things are right. And they do work. They work. But what if you're hurt at age 4?
Right.
Or age 7?
Yeah.
Or age 10? But at that age, none of us had kind of matured our way or grown our way into learning how to ease emotional pain by reading God's word, fellowshipping with God's people, or corporate worship. Mm. And the way I came to relieve some of my emotional pain, which was artificial but provided some temporary relief, was through substances. And so I used drugs for the first time at 10 years old in the fourth grade. I dropped out of school as a junior in high school, and for the next 2.5 years, lived in inpatient treatment centers. My family was just trying to get me clean. And eventually made my way back home, and for the next 4.5 years, had as hardcore of an IV drug addiction as you can possibly have. I shouldn't have survived.
Wow.
And in 2004, during Thanksgiving, I overdosed. And I blacked out, and I end up on the front lawn of my grandparents' home. And they nursed me back to health. I survived the overdose. And they took me to a church. And I look a lot different today than I did then. I had, you know, black eyeliner and big earrings in and spiked up hair and looked the part of an addict. And I'm in church, and this preacher is teaching a message on being a pretender or a contender for Jesus Christ. Mm. And he told the audience, a lot of you out there are just pretenders, but you're designed to be a contender, and you can only be a contender in Christ. So he asked everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, and if they needed prayer, to raise their hands. I've been on a drug binge, been homeless in treatment 8 different times, was the hopeless case. I mean, everybody that knew me knew I just wasn't going to survive this. And when he gave that altar call, you guys, it's like some balloons just attached to my hand. And I'm like, I do need prayer. And he's looking right at me, and he's like, if you raise your hand for prayer, I want you to come forward. And as God is my witness, it was like this force just got me up out of my chair, and I came forward and surrendered my life to Christ. That was in 2004, and I've been serving Jesus Christ ever since.
We call that force the Holy Spirit.
You know
it's
that now.
The same Spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead.
Right?
Turns out, saved my life, Randy, saved my life. When nothing else would work for me, and this is true, everything that could be tried was tried. I was diagnosed with every mental health issue you can imagine and treated with medication, treated inpatient. There was a time in my journey where I was strapped down into a bed in a padded room with an antipsychotic medication in my IV. And it was a hopeless case, but there's always hope in Jesus Christ.
My gosh, that's incredible. Like I'm thinking of that day. You surrendered to Jesus, you gave your life to Christ. What happened next?
Yeah, so that's a question that is really worth taking some time to answer. So my trauma and my pain shaped my sense of who I was. And the more I sought relief for my pain through substances, the more my pain seemed to grow and inflame, which made my self-concept get that much worse. And so you guys do a good job on your show of talking about these cycles of just sin and shame and misery that beget more sin and shame and misery.
Yeah.
And it's like with every revolution of that cycle, I just felt like the worst person on earth, and then even more worse. So in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized. In Matthew 3:17, a voice from heaven identifies Jesus, and God says, "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased." Mm-hmm. The very next chapter, if you turn the page, Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit, the same Spirit that resurrects Jesus and that transformed my life, leads Christ into the wilderness to be tempted. 40 days he's without food. And the evil one comes to him and tempts him 3 different times. And I've always taught this, that it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life that Satan tempted Jesus with. And I don't think that's right, but I missed something in the text for many years. And the enemy mentions a few words to Jesus before the temptation that I think are the core of how the evil one tried to tempt Jesus. He says, "If you are the Son." It's an attack on his identity when he's at maybe his most vulnerable at that point. Been fasting for 40 days, and he's like, "Hey, if you're really the Son, turn these stones to bread and satisfy your hunger." Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the evil one did to me in my journey, is every time I felt beat up and hurt and overwhelmed and ashamed, the evil one just attacked my identity. And so one of the biggest things that transformed for me when I surrendered my life to Christ is I got a new identity. I am a son of the Most High God.
Yeah.
And so kind of living into that identity, Tammy, and learning how to live like Jesus lived. You know, the wonderful thing about the scriptures, Trent's life was broken and messed up. My best thinking and best decision-making got me into the worst situations imaginable, right?
Yes, yes.
So I needed a new system.
Yes,
like,
you did.
I don't need to make decisions. I don't need to do the behavior I think I need to do. I need somebody to map that out for me.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ left us a roadmap.
Yeah.
And I have followed that into my wildest dreams coming true.
All right, you brought something out that touches on something that's important. So even in the temptation of Christ, there was a sort of a root thing below the temptation, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was the identity below the satisfy your hunger temptation, right? How critical was it for you and for others who may be dealing with whatever is up here that everybody sees, to get to that root?
I think that's the most important thing we can do for our mental health. So as a mental health provider, Randy, you're talking about something that every time a client walks into my office, I'm looking for. Mm. So the symptoms people are dealing with, things like depression or anxiety, which I think you guys do a great job of talking about, we need to talk about that a lot.
Yes.
Those are the things that you can see on the surface that represent something underneath that needs to be resolved. A lot of this research came out of the 1980s. I'll share this story with you guys. So there were two bariatric surgeons at the San Diego Department of Preventive Medicine's weight loss clinic who were doing weight loss, you know, surgeries and plans for clients. And they looked at their database and they noticed that the clients most likely to drop out of their program were the clients who had the best performance, which is exactly the opposite of what you'd expect, right? You'd think that the people that lost the most weight would be the most likely to buy in and stay in treatment.
Yeah.
Those people were actually the most likely to drop out. So these two surgeons contact that group of people and they're like, what happened? You guys had the best results and you didn't stay in. Of that population, 98% endured at least one, but 72% more than one adverse experience in childhood. So here's what they discovered. Let's say there's a 10-year-old who's brutally bullied at school, and he can't wait for the end of the day bell to ring. And it rings, and he gets on the bus, and he gets home. And let's say both his parents work, so he's home by himself. And he feels what every 10-year-old would feel in that moment. He's hungry, right?
Yeah, sure.
So he goes to the cupboard, he opens it up, and he finds one of Trent's favorite indulgences, a box of honey buns, right? And so he pulls one out, he unwraps it, and he eats it. And in that moment, he gets the expected primary benefit of satisfaction of his hunger. Mm-hmm. But remember, he's been bullied all day, and so he's hurting emotionally.
Yeah.
And when his body processes the simple sugar in that honey bun, and it crosses his blood-brain barrier, it releases chemicals like serotonin and dopamine, which have a more powerful, unexpected secondary benefit of easing his emotional pain.
Mm.
So he doesn't eat one honey bun.
Yeah.
He plows through the whole box, not because he's that hungry, but because he's hurting.
That's good. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So he goes to school the next day. Those mean bullies say those same mean things, and he feels the familiar pain start to creep up in his spirit. But this day, something unexpected happens. All of a sudden, he feels the pang of hunger, and he can taste something in his mouth. It's a honey bun. Because his brain learned the day before that a way to ease that emotional pain that he felt was to eat a honey bun.
Mm-hmm.
And so what these surgeons realized is that the people they were treating didn't actually have a weight problem or a behavior problem with consuming too much food. They had an underlying pain problem like you referenced, Randy.
Yeah, interesting.
And when they started treating the underlying pain, guess what happened to the body weight of the people they were treating? Spontaneously improved.
Wow.
That's exactly right. So we see that same pattern replicated in almost every domain of mental health. When we manage the underlying issue, the symptoms begin to subside. And I'd like to suggest to you guys today that the way to resolve those underlying issues is through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
But the world right now, I mean, you know, you see what's going on out there. Can you do anything apart from Christ? I mean, I want to say no, but I mean, that almost seems too narrow in a sense.
Mm.
Like, you got to do it this way or it's not going to work. I mean, what?
Yeah, great question. I don't apologize that Jesus Christ is the way that
I know.
Life,
I don't,
right?
I don't want to either.
John 8:32.
Proclaim it loud.
You know the truth, and the truth sets you free. I do want to be sensitive. There is a segment of the population that will watch your show that may not be Christians,
mm-hmm.
or that might be Christians who have been hurting.
Yes.
Because they've been hurt by somebody in the church.
Yeah, sure.
And so I do think in my role as a mental health provider, I can dig into some of that underlying hurt and try to talk through it and help people with it in ways that promote healing. But that healing, in my understanding, removes barriers that stand between people and Jesus.
Gotcha.
So they can grow closer to Him kind of along their healing journey.
And I think people can do that for loved ones that are in
Absolutely.
Situations too. You don't always have to you know, absolutely, give them everything at once.
Yeah.
You can ease them into.
And sometimes trying to give them too much too soon can have the opposite effect intended.
They'll push them away.
Absolutely. Right. Right. What we've learned in the last 20 years, one of the best ways to help loved ones in our lives who are hurting is to demonstrate just that love towards them.
You
know,
good.
Love is God's core attribute. It covers a multitude of sins.
It never fails.
Most distinguishable feature of a disciple, how we love one another. So that's a really good first approach, is to come with the love and grace of Jesus and really walk alongside people, and he'll open a door.
Yeah.
I hear you saying, Trent, that Jesus is the way. He's the absolute answer, unapologetically. I know that's going to be your answer here when I ask you this, like how you became free, how you became healed from your pain, because there might be somebody watching today that has also tried everything that just thinks it's great for Trent, but it's not happening for me, or it's not happening for my grandson or my son. What would you say to that person that just basically thinks like, I know Jesus is the answer, but it's not working for me?
Tammy, so what you're describing, in my understanding, is a state of just hopelessness.
Yeah.
And I think people become hopeless for really good reason. Imagine if I woke up every day hoping in something, and I went to bed every day without that thing having come to pass. Day after week after month after year, eventually I stop hoping to manage the pain of my hopes not being realized day by day.
Yeah.
And so I see an adaptation towards hopelessness as a way to ease that pain. There is this sort of moment in rock climbing. I'm from Colorado, so I'm familiar with this now, most recently from Louisiana, but it's called the crux move. And it's the move in a climb where you really have to go all in and you have to take your biggest risk. And if you can overcome the crux move, the rest of the climb is easy. And I think what we're really describing here is the crux move. And if people have been hurt by the church or feel like they've been let down by God, they've got a lot of data that gives them a sense that they shouldn't be hopeful in a spiritual transformation journey. And I would beg your audience to take the risk of going all in one more time. If I can change, if spiritual transformation is possible for me, it really is possible for anybody. I just shouldn't be sitting in front of you guys today.
The interesting thing about that is you couldn't change.
Right.
It was only through the power
of God. That's exactly right, Randy.
Yeah.
That you finally allowed him to change you.
I gave up.
Yeah. Right.
And then he changed my life. That's exactly right.
It's good.
I've heard this said so many times, and I want to know what Scripture teaches on this, that God will never give you more than you can handle.
Oh, so glad you asked that question. There is some bad theology out there about mental health and that kind of stuff. Without question, we are going to get more in life than we can handle. I see that all day, every day. But God will never give us anything in life that is too great for Him.
He'll never give us more than he can handle.
Randy, that's exactly right.
I mean, because it goes back to...
I couldn't do it, man.
Right. I mean, if we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need him.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly right.
What we talked about recently with Kyle, it's that dependency.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. This is so good. Okay, if you got somebody that you need to talk to right now, and you can't run to Colorado and sit down with Trent, we've got a telephone number right there on the screen. Somebody will pray with you. They're not a licensed professional counselor. You may need to seek that out. But someone will listen to you and pray with you for yourself, for your loved one.
Yeah.
But most of all, we want to know that there is hope. And that's so much of what we do here, Tammy.
Yes.
I know you just recently got back from the mission field. We are here to give you hope.
Amen.
And we're also here to ask you to give hope to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a situation right now that is achingly hopeless for so many young people,
mm-hmm.
mainly girls.
Mm-hmm.
But you can reach out and be that spark of hope that changes a life. Watch this and you'll see how.
Hãy tới việc đặt thân em nhung ở đây. Hãy ngập lắng. Ngập lắng. Kê thở ấy nhung hay.
From the bright lights to the brothels, on any given night all around the world, there are millions of young girls who thought they were going to work in a legitimate job only to find themselves in a situation just like Kim, where their lives were turned upside down by sex traffickers. And that's where Life Outreach's partners step in to rescue girls who have been forced into prostitution by human traffickers.
Whenever we're able to arrest a trafficker, it's a huge win, because not only does it mean that place is shut down, but that might mean that tens or maybe even hundreds of girls won't be trafficked because of that.
SWAT raids are just one of the means our mission partners use to rescue girls. Others will reach out one-on-one and befriend girls who feel trapped in the world of sex trafficking. Once girls are taken into our mission partners' safe houses, their lives are forever changed.
I want to see them to have a safe place to stay. I want them to have people in their life who they can trust. And I want them to keep fighting for a better future and fighting for the goal that they have in life. And I want to see them still living with hope, because I believe that when they come here, it's not an accident. God plans for them, and His plan always for good.
Goodness. I think the only thing about that piece that makes me smile is the hope of that safe place, knowing that there is a place that is safe for these girls to be restored. So many of these children need to be rescued right now. I don't know what more I could say. I don't know what more I could say for you to feel the urgency right now. What's happening to these children around the world right now is real. And we have a responsibility to do everything we can to reach them, to rescue them, and to restore their beautiful lives. Give them a hope. Give them a future. We've been doing it for years, and we are not going to stop. Even if that one child is our focus, we will focus on that one. We will get to them, and we will bring them back to life. And then we'll go get another and another and another. We will not stop as long as God has called us to this mission. We will be faithful to it. And we're asking you today, if you'd come alongside us and be faithful with us to reach another child today, in the next minute, we could do that together, Randy.
Yeah. And Tammy, you know, this is one of the greatest evils of our time.
It's terrible, yes.
We look back in history and we say, if I had lived at that point in time, I would have done this or I would have done this. Well, we live at a point where there is a great evil among us. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what will we do?
Exactly.
And fortunately, we have some friends that have come alongside us, and they have offered $320,000 to match your gift today. Now, what does that mean? There's three things we do in this. We reach, we rescue, and we restore. What does that mean? We reach into places, not just overseas like you saw in that piece, but here in the United States, we offer education. We prevent young children from being trafficked in the first place. That's the first part of it. We also rescue, which means my favorite part, kicking in doors, arresting bad guys.
Yes.
Here in the United States, it means shutting down some trafficking rings using technology. There's a lot of interesting things going on. And then we restore. We give them skills. We give them hope. We give them the gospel. I got to tell you, there's no hope without Christ. That's our view. And so everything that we do will offer Christ as the center. So my question for you today, as we come to you for the last week on the air, we'll be doing this around the year, is what will you do with the matching gift? Normally, it's about $128 to reach, rescue, or restore one child, but that means a gift of $128 today. We'll actually do that for two children. Some of you could do that for many more. In fact, a gift of $1,280 would do that for 20 children today. That's why we need everybody to come alongside of us and say, I'll do my part.
Yes.
because the need is great. The darkness is great, but the light is greater. And so I know, Tammy, if everybody will do something, we can change so many lives, and every life is precious.
You said it, Randy. Today is the day to come together and kick down the doors of the enemy, to kick down the doors of hell. Let's do it today. Let's do it now.
Yeah. Go to the phone. Go online. Make the best gift you can.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help rescue one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the brand new book from James Robison and Jay Richards, Fight the Good Fight. This book will open your eyes to what's at stake and the unwavering truth that God isn't finished with our nation. It's time to fight the good fight and return to unshakable biblical principles. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the NIV Large Print Thin Line Bible. This easy-to-carry, easy-to-read NIV Bible with comfort print allows you to take in more of God's Word each time you open your Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This is the last week we'll be on the air with this, but we are going to continue giving hope. We can only do what you enable us to do. So I'm hoping that you will go on the phone or go online right now. Make the best gift you can. We can reach into the darkest of places and shine the light and love of Christ. Tammy, this has been a hopeful discussion for me.
Totally.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I have. And you know, Trent, you have been such a voice of life, a voice of hope today for so many people. What a life you've lived. Such an honor to be sitting next to you. Thank you for being here.
You guys, thank you so much for having me.
Any last word you would leave our audience with?
I'd just reiterate, please, please, if you're out there and you're struggling, give Jesus one more try. Yeah. I believe He can transform any life.
I do too. What a great word. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today. I'll be your refuge, hide under my wing. Rest your head, and don't you worry, don't you worry. Some of the greatest armies and warriors that we've talked to don't have answers, but we do.
Stopping the darkest evil on earth tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.